The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Michael Walsh, remember, was a year ago inside in the studio here with us on the day President Donald Trump gave his inauguration speech. We discussed that speech, which was written largely by Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon, who was the mastermind, many people felt, behind the Trump election. He left the White House last year, went back to Breitbart News, but now he's gone from there as a result of his contribution to this book, Fire and Fury, by Michael Wolff, which has enraged and embarrassed many in the White House. Michael Walsh, good evening to you.
Hey, Matt, how are you doing?
Very good. How surprised are you to see that your friend Steve Bannon has been given the boot from Breitbart?
No, I'm not terribly surprised. I think it's a kind of case of Icarus flying too close to the sun, or hubris, or Irish pigheadedness, or however you want to characterize it. But I think there's, on any movie set, there's only room for one star, and the star is the President of the United States, and Steve just found that out the hard way.
Why, do you think, does Steve Bannon start regarding himself as a star? Because that's certainly one of the suggestions of the Michael Wolff book.
Well, the Michael Wolff book, as you know, I would take with a very large grain of salt. Even the leftist media in the United States, including very close friends of mine, Matt, warned me off that book even before it came out. He doesn't have the greatest reputation for accuracy, shall we say. So
then why did Trump and the administration get so angry about it?
Well, I think they don't like to read anything about themselves negatively. But the larger issue is, why did Steve even talk to Michael Wolff? And I don't think anyone's disputing that he did. And I think what he said was quite intemperate. And unfortunately, it just cost him not only his job at the White House, but it cost him his job at Breitbart, too. But I think there's a silver lining in all this, Matt.
And what's that?
Well, I think for one thing, Breitbart will now go back to being what it was meant to be in the first place. As you may know, I was one of the founding editors of Breitbart when it was four guys and a laptop, basically. We started with no money. Our writers wrote for free. There were four or five editors, Andrew and myself, Michael Flynn, who's now deceased, like Andrew, a couple other folks. And that was it. And then once Andrew Breitbart died in March of 2011, the company was taken over by Steve, and he took it in a very, very different direction. So
what was the different direction? For those people who are not familiar, what was Breitbart, and into what did Steve Bannon change it?
Well, Andrew Breitbart was a force of nature. He was a very impulsive, very large man, and exuberant. He was a happy warrior. He was always funny. He was very much against the Frankfurt School on the left. I've written a whole book about the Frankfurt School, as you know, called The Devil's Pleasure Palace. He brought joy to combat and was quite a goofy individual and wanted all of us at the big sites, big government, big journalism, big Hollywood, to take on the establishment in the United States and go after them, not in a mean or cruel way, but in a combative and intellectually engaging way. And I think Breitbart drifted after Andrew's death into being sort of the personal fiefdom of one guy and one way of looking at the political situation. And frankly, it became far too politicized. And I've said that for years. And I had lunch with Alex Marlowe, who is one of the original Breitbart people who runs the site now. And I told him that to his face in Washington. So it's I'm not telling anything out of school here.
Yeah, but Steve Bannon went back to it after he left the White House in the autumn. And he also got a radio show as part of the gig as well. Who had the power at Breitbart as a retribution for his involvement in this book to fire him from Breitbart and also cost him his radio show?
Well, the radio show actually antedated the White House stint. I was on the radio show from my house in Ireland on many an occasion. So that was on Sirius FM. But basically, the company was always closely held by two people, Larry Soloff, who was Andrew's boyhood buddy and neighbor in Brentwood, a very wealthy section of Los Angeles, and Andrew. And at Andrew's death, it devolved to his widow, Susie Breitbart, was a wonderful woman who was not political in any way, shape, or form. So the two of them really held the balance of power there. How it's been restructured since I left, which was in 2010, it's quite a long time ago, I don't know. But clearly, this was a decision made by Susie and by Larry Soloff.
Well, the suggestions that there's the Mercer family, who were very politically involved billionaires, that they decided that Bannon had to go.
Well, they certainly distanced themselves. The Robert Mercer, the father, had pulled away some months ago, and Rebecca Mercer, who was Steve's main patroness and champion, also notably pulled back. And I think when you lose the money, you lose your source of power to a great extent. Also, I think, as you know, Matt, when you achieve X and then you get fired or you lose the job, you don't usually go back to Y, which was the thing that preceded it. That's a step backwards. It's not a step forward. It's not even a step sideways. So I think once Steve went back to Breitbart, the handwriting was pretty much on the wall that that was just going to be temporary.
So what will happen to him now? Will he still be a figure, a significant figure in American politics?
Well, I think, let me just say this, because I think his figureness was largely a media creation. The Time magazine did a big piece, is this the second most powerful man in America? And he was the focus of a great deal of media attention, partly, I think, because he liked it, and he was certainly very media savvy, is media savvy. But I don't know that his influence was quite as great as everyone said. Now, I've had personal experience with him in the White House and things I can't talk about on the air, but I don't think that his influence was as great as it seemed to outside, not only outside of Washington, but outside of the United States. So now I think he's got a couple of new ventures that he's planning. He's got new funding, I believe, from China. You haven't heard the last of him, but I don't think he'll be as much of a prominent public figure. Because let's face it, the left loved to hate him, and he was a very convenient villain. So I think they're going to miss Steve now that he's gone.
You say funding from China. I thought he was a sort of an isolationist. I thought he was a man who just wanted to sort of close in behind American borders rather than taking money from China.
Well, I don't know for sure that it's China. I believe it's China. I mean, I could be wrong, and I'll correct myself next time you have me on the show if I'm incorrect. But, hey, Hollywood, we take money from China all the time. I would just caveat that, as Al Haig used to say, our former Secretary of State, that Chinese money is highly transient, and having had experience with it twice in the movie business and seen it vanish overnight, contract or no, I wouldn't put those eggs in one basket if I were Steve.
One final thing, Michael Walsh. There have been suggestions that Steve Bannon is still hopeful that President Donald Trump will reach out to him in the future for further advice. Could you see that happening?
Yeah, well, yeah, I can see that happening. I mean, but partly, much of what goes on, there are two Trump administrations, Matt. There's the public one, and there's the one that the left media loves to pummel, and Maggie Haberman, you know, tweets about 75 times a day. She's the White House correspondent for the New York Times. And then there's the real White House, where a lot is getting done. And I would like to say for my Irish friends and listeners and family and relatives, so much has happened in the first year of the administration that is highly satisfactory to the conservative movement, that they've got just about everything they wanted and would never have gotten from the Bush family or any of the other candidates that were running. That I think on balance, the administration has been very, very successful, and you're going to see much more of that going forward as the Republican congressmen finally fall into line and the Russian collusion fantasy evaporates. That's going to end extremely badly for the left. I mean, Matt, we got to talk about that in the future because it is as ugly as you can possibly imagine it to be.
Michael Walsh, Michael, thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.